This is the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, episode 63. Good day and welcome to this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. This podcast is exactly what we say it is in the title, folks. It's a show that focuses on everything to do with fantasy books, and we mean everything. I mean, no matter what kind of fantasy you read, urban fantasy, epic fantasy, grimdark, swords and sorcery, you name it, we've got the best and brightest authors from all the various corners of the fantasy book world here on the show each week. And we look forward to continuing to bring them to you, so keep coming back. Kicking off the show with my own writing update this week, I'm happily ensconced right now and getting the outline together for the first draft of what will be Book 8 in my Extreme Medical Services series. I'm also getting ready to launch Book 4 in the Broken Throne series, Stolen Destiny. There'll be 3 more weeks after that, and then I will have the completed series out with book 5 and have all 5 books out in the course of this summer and the beginning of the fall. So stay tuned for more updates and some special promotions I'm going to be running when book 5 comes out on that series, so you can check it out and get it at a discount if you want. As always, you can check out more information on what I'm up to by visiting my fan group on Facebook, Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers, or over on my website and blog, jamiedavisbooks.com. I look forward to hearing from you. I have a contact form over there. You can reach out to me over on Facebook or on Twitter or other places. Just look me up, and I'd love to have you get in touch with me so I can get back to you. Let's go ahead and get into our author interview now. Stephen Landry is a self-published author who grew up in Nashville, Tennessee. After graduating from Nossi College of Art in 2012 with a degree in graphic design, he discovered a new passion for the creative process. Stephen started writing seriously in 2012 when he stopped pursuing his career in graphic design and looked into other types of arts. After taking to social media to interact with other writers and polish his skills, his cyberpunk sci-fi novel, Deep Darkness, received almost 1 million views before being featured on the website Wattpad. A year after launching Pull, another book, he followed with a less successful but no less fun sequel to that first book, Trigger. I talked with Stephen about writing, about dealing with things like our demons of depression that so many authors suffer from, and a whole lot more. Check it out. Hi, Stephen. It's great to have you here on the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jamie. It's good to be here. This is my first podcast. I'm a little bit nervous. You might catch me saying a little bit too much, so let me go ahead and apologize for that. Let's get started.
All right, sounds good. And by the way, I bet I say a lot more than you do, because that's the way I do these kind of interviews, so it's all good.
That's probably not true.
all right, we're going to have a contest. All right, folks, you heard it here first. I want you to start counting.
All right.
Just get a piece of blank paper out, everybody listening, and you can make 2 columns, one for Steven, one for me, and just start making tick marks, and we'll see what we do, okay? All right, good enough.
I think I already got 5 right there.
Yeah, right? See? So why don't you start off by introducing yourself and telling everybody a little bit about who you are?
Let's see. I am Stephen Landry. I'm an author living in Nashville, Tennessee. Well, just outside Nashville, Tennessee. I have been self-publishing for 3 years. My newest release is Stardivers with Level Up Publishing. I enjoy science fiction, fantasy, horror. I'm also a graphic designer by trade. I went to a art college for 4 years. I got my bachelor degree in graphic design. I worked the corporate field for a little bit before breaking off into freelance. I work on a couple of independent movies here and there. I've worked on a few independent video games. I would talk more about them, but I've signed a couple of NDAs and can't really discuss at the moment, but hopefully in the future I can talk more about that kind of stuff.
Sounds awesome.
I like to work a lot in the film community in Nashville. We have an awesome film community here. And I like to help produce pictures, mostly horror. I recently helped with Apocalyptic 2077, which was a motion picture, a grindhouse film that was shot in the UK. I was an associate producer on that. And I've got a couple of other projects in the works, too.
That's awesome. And I'm just going to throw this out there because I actually used to do some work around the country in different video segments. And I was actually in Nashville and had a contact there. You wouldn't happen to know a camera operator named Trevor Merchant, would you?
The name doesn't sound familiar.
That's okay. I thought I'd ask. He was my go-to guy whenever we'd come to Nashville with a conference, and he'd hook me up. Let's kind of start off because you had a background in graphic design, and that's a very creative field, but it's not writing. What drew you into saying, I think I need to write a story?
I actually wrote my first story, my first novel, when I was in grade school. It was like 200 pages, and it was a Dragon Ball Z meets Gundam Wing meets everything from a 12, 13 year old's imagination you could possibly imagine, horrible grammar and all. It was called Avalon. I still remember that, but I've always had a deep passion for writing. And in high school, I was in a metal band, and I wrote poetry and lyrics. I did a lot of creative writing in college, and that's really where I thought about getting serious with my writing. And in college is when I actually started working on my first novel.
So, and it's interesting you say that. I mean, I've talked to so many people that at one point or another in their early lives wrote stories and discovered that they enjoyed taking something they were passionate about and telling a story about that. And whether it was a TV show or a game they liked to play, and you're writing in the game lit RPG realm now. So you kind of melded that. You come full circle almost, wouldn't you say?
I have, absolutely. My love of science fiction and my love of video games has discovered the lit RPG genre about 3-4 years ago. And since then, it, like anybody that discovers the genre, I was hooked. And being able to like combine both fields, both genres, has just been like mind-blowing. And I did it before in some of my novels, like they had virtual worlds and they had game-lit elements, but to actually incorporate the stats and game mechanics into Stardivers has been a lot of fun.
I completely agree. And you know, I started out writing urban fantasy, but I have written 6 books, lit RPG books myself. And my Dungeons and Dragons and my video gaming background, I was surprised at how easily it melded into the story and gave it a whole nother, for no pun intended, but a whole nother level of the story in that you had to talk about how the player reached the next status point and reached that next section where they had to make a decision. What skill am I going to take and how am I going to allot these particular experience points or whatever the case may be? It adds a dimension that isn't there, an extra level of decision-making for the character that isn't there in a regular story.
It's also really interesting to be able to follow a character in a new world, in a new place, and see them do that grind, that world building, and experience that world with them as they have to grow and train, level up throughout the stories.
And you do from the very beginning in Stardivers, Dungeons of Bane, you dig right into that. I mean, it kind of opens up with the main character, Breck, on this like side mission to like get some extra loot.
Yeah, one of the things I wanted to do in Stardivers was I didn't want to just start with a character in the building screen. I wanted to actually take it as a character that has been playing the game for a while. The game has been out for a while, so it has a lot of a big player base. And he's a member of a guild working a job, basically. But the job he starts out at the beginning of the game working is more for himself.
Now, he works as he has a job as a corpse diver. You want to explain that to our audience a little bit about what that means to be a corpse diver?
So in Bane, when your character dies, you lose all your skill points, all your level. You have to rebuild your character from zero. But your character, wherever they die, they leave an echo behind. And the echo turns into an artifact. And an artifact can be like a rare weapon, a sword, some kind of skill advance. It's always something that's random, but has something to do with the character that died. It's basically a special one-up that appears in the game. And wherever if the character died in like a common area, then the item won't be as rare. But if they died in like a high level dungeon, the item could be ultra rare. And as a corpse diver, it's Breck's job to go and hunt the artifacts that exist in the high level dungeons.
Yeah, and of course, a lot of dangers associated with that because he's kind of going in over his head.
Absolutely. The artifacts, they attract high-level creatures. They attract these interdimensional ghost-like beings called Hollows that seem to appear out of nowhere. And once they get a hold of a player, it could be game over instantly.
Yeah, and Breck uncovers, he and his group of merry band of friends, I guess you could say, they uncover a mystery inside the game, and that's kind of the premise in the beginning. I just started reading it. It's a lot of fun. I'm enjoying the leveling process and the game notifications and all that stuff that make Lit RPG such a rich genre to read. As so often happens in a lot of the stories, there isn't a story behind it, and yet you have a story there. I mean, I'm engaged as much with the characters as I am with the game mechanics, which is really something that is the real trick to pull off in Lit RPG.
I appreciate that. I believe character development, kind of like you mentioned Dungeons and Dragons earlier. I do the whole dungeon master thing too, and I love it when characters have a full, rich backstory, and like a believable backstory. Like every one of my characters, I could probably write an entire book on each and every one of them.
I played a campaign for a long time through high school and beyond into college. And ended up at the end was playing children of my original character. And talk about backstory. That whole world was built by my group, my companions, and myself with the dungeon master that ran that campaign. And you can't get much richer than that. I mean, we all look back, and to this day when we see each other, and that was 40 years ago or 30 years. Yeah, 40 years ago. We still talk about, like, remember when that happened and everything changed? Because, we all participated in these world-changing events that, because we did something unexpected, it made the dungeon master have to alter events and alter the situation. And that's what I think I enjoy so much about Lit RPG books is that sense of the player taking on the game.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things I love about the focus of a lot of Lit RPG books is when you are focusing in on that character, you see that change through their eyes, through their perspective. And a lot of times Lit RPG books will focus on a character that is influencing that change. And you get to see how they respond and how the world responds to them.
Now, Breck is, you know, this kind of down and out character, at least in this first book. What's your sense of how that character, how you came about coming up with him? Does he represent something that you've been thinking about for a while, or did you kind of cobble this character together from different parts of things that you wanted to make sure was represented in the story from the beginning?
I have a depression, and a lot of the like downs and outs are actually based on my own experiences, as well as the experiences of people that I've met since coming out as a suicide survivor.
I have to just start off and say, you know, I commend you for being honest and upfront about that. I too suffer from depression and I'm bipolar. And it's very difficult for people to understand how that can sometimes take over parts of your life for a period of time. So I just want to, you know, commend you for being open about that. And writing elements of it into your book. I do the same thing, and I find it very cathartic.
It's very healing to be able to express yourself in writing, especially as any creative person knows. A lot of us creatives do suffer from forms of depression and anxiety. Just the putting ourselves out there can be a milestone.
Absolutely, I completely agree, and I think that you've done a great job with this story. And the fact that there's elements like that built into Breck and the story itself, makes it that much more richer for me. And I was enjoying it already. So, kudos to you for finding that way of building that aspect of yourself into this story in such a way that, it makes it even more engaging. So the story is this story is finished. What's next for you? Are you continuing on with this series?
I actually am working on two more books in the series. I plan for it to be a trilogy and possibly a few more spinoffs. But I do have a full story like already written in my mind. Parts of it are outlined. I know where I want to take the characters and the game, and I have a complete idea of how I want to end it.
And, you know, you said spinoffs because I think the world of Bane is so rich and there's so many places you could go. I could imagine there being other stories just as diverse and engaging as Breck's story elsewhere in this universe.
Absolutely. One of the characters in there, Lady Grey, she's a god tier player. She's like level 92 when we first meet her, and she's actually the leader of the Corpse Divers. But what people don't know, and this is kind of dipping into a little bit of spoiler territory, but it does happen in the first few chapters, is that she is actually a 13-year-old prodigy.
That's interesting. I haven't gotten that far yet, so I'm going to have to look forward to that section when I get to it. That's exciting. And those characters are very interesting to build in, you know, somebody like that, because, you know, that unexpected aspect of the character that you don't realize who they are. And then now you have to deal with this ultra powerful character who has this hidden, flaw or this hidden frailty that you didn't realize was there because it's a child.
Exactly. Like everybody, like she's called a big boss in the game and she's feared by everybody, but she's totally just a kid at heart. That's one of the things I love about writing, especially in this genre, is you see characters and you see their player, you see their avatar, but you don't always know who is behind the avatar. And being able to get that sense of discovery on top of discovering the world is pretty fun.
That's interesting because you're writing in this VR world where, you know, people are going into these total immersion pods and they're experiencing the world in a very real sense, but they're able to control how they look, their physical appearance in many ways, so that they could be anybody. They could be a male playing a female or vice versa, a child playing an adult. There's no way to really know for sure. And that lends a certain mystique to it. And it's interesting because in my lit RPG books, it's more of a portal world. And so it's about the character discovering aspects of themselves, but it's really the character. I mean, it's really that main, you know, that main character experiencing this world where they are going through the elements of the game. That's, again, the genre is so diverse in the ways that it approaches gaming, that it lends itself to a lot of different types of expression. And that's really cool. So you have two more books planned for Dungeons of Bane and some spinoffs in the possibilities. What are your thoughts on when the book two might be coming out? Have you kind of got a plan for that yet?
I'm hoping to have it finished in a few months. I originally intended to release Dungeons of Bane back in March, so I have had some time to work on this. But I'm hoping to release every 6 to 8 months for this series.
Awesome. So we'll expect something like right after the first of the year, I guess, or sometime around there.
Yeah, sometime around there. Hopefully February or March.
Awesome. That's very exciting.
Stardivers also has an audiobook that will be coming out soon. I don't have the release date yet, but Tantor Media recently acquired the rights to it.
Awesome. Tantor's a good operation, and they'll put a lot of effort into it. Do you know who the narrator's going to be yet?
Not yet. We're still discussing, but I'm really, really excited about it.
Well, that's very cool. You know, I think you'll enjoy hearing your book presented back to you in audiobook format. That's been a joy for me, converting my books into audiobook format, because one of the things that I didn't expect to experience was having this story performed. It's not just somebody reading the book, but it's really a performance. And having that be a performance presents the book to me in a completely different format, in such a way that I almost don't think that I wrote the book. It's kind of an out of body, out of book experience, if you will.
Absolutely. In fact, I do a lot of conventions, and I met Josh Petersdorf. He plays Roadhog in Overwatch.
Uh-huh.
And he actually took one of my self-published novels. And like, it was in front of a group of his fans and everything, and like we were all talking, all having a good time, and he opened it up and just started reading it and getting a sense of the character and the exposition, and he read like the whole first chapter aloud, and like it was really cool to see like something live like that happen. And as far as performance, like my other novels have been turned, my self-published stuff, I've turned into audiobooks through ACX, which is a really great site for bringing writers and narrators, producers together. And we had a lot of fun with that. Richard Rose is a voice actor, and he did Deep Darkness Volume 1 Pull. And I was amazed by the changes that he could do with his voice.
It's really fun to experience that, I don't know, I guess performance is the only way to put it, because they delve into the characters and they bring those characters and those storylines to life, and their interpretation of your words add a richness to it that you don't necessarily get just reading it off the page.
It's a whole nother layer of artistic expression.
Talk to me a little bit about Pull, because that's an interesting book. The first book in the Deep Darkness series. Tell me about how that book came about.
Pull was actually written while I was deep in depression. I wrote it over the course of 3 years, almost as a coping mechanism, actually. And it takes place in a far future. It follows a user named a guy named Sev, who is a user, and a user is somebody who, when they touch this alien artifact called the Nexus, can see through somebody's eyes into the past, present, or one in 10 tries, the future. And it's the whole book today. The book series takes place during this war against an alien race called the Skrev. They've destroyed the Earth, and humanity are on the run to this mystical place in the middle of the galaxy called Eden. So it has a lot of hints of like Battlestar Galactica. It's very, very cyberpunk-ish. The time travel mechanics in it, I had a lot of fun with, because I got to write chapters that actually showed the past where humanity met the alien Skrev. And I also, there's a conspiracy surrounding the Nexus and where it came from that goes all the way back to World War II. And when I did the World War II segments, I actually interviewed my grandfather before he passed away. My grandfather was in the Air Force during World War II.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I want to make sure folks know where to find your stuff. Your books are available on Amazon. And you can also find out more about what you're doing and at your blog, where you have some great artwork, by the way, that from people you've worked with that kind of bring the characters even more to life, which is very fun to scroll through and see. So I'll make sure I have links to that. But is there anywhere else you'd like people to look you up online?
I also have an Instagram, Stephen.Landry. I share all kinds of pictures of Stardivers, projects I'm working on, and of course, I've got two beautiful rescue dogs and a cat. You'll see lots and lots of pictures of them on there.
Awesome. Well, and we'll make sure folks find that. And that's Stephen.Landry with a PH for the Stephen. So make sure you spell it right, folks. And Stephen, thanks for coming on the
Stephon.
Show. Make sure you check in with me when the book 2 for the Stardivers Dungeons of Bane series comes out, and we will dig into chatting a little bit about where Breck is going with the story next.
Thank you for having me here. I can't wait.
And that's going to wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. Make sure you catch up with us. You can find out a whole lot more about what we're doing in the Fantasy Focus community by heading over to our Fantasy Focus community on Facebook and joining the community over there. You can also check out the podcast directly over at fantasy-focus.com. You can check out the podcast in the tab that says podcast over there. Leave a comment on this episode if you have a question for me or for Steven, and I'll make sure that he gets back to you. Also, on our website, on each podcast episode page, you'll find links that let you subscribe to the show on your favorite mobile app for iOS or Android devices. You can even subscribe by email if you want. Make sure you do that because you don't want to miss any episodes. We've got some awesome authors scheduled coming up in the next few months. Our next episode features awesome author Jack Connor. I know you don't want to miss that one. That's it for this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jamie Davis, author of Fun Fantasy Reads. Don't forget to follow me over on Facebook at Jamie Davis Books and at my website, jamiedavisbooks.com, where you can get a free book if you sign up for my newsletter while you're over there. Whatever you do, though, subscribe. Come back here for the next podcast. And in the meantime, keep your eyes open, folks, because remember what I say, there's magic all around you.